This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/frontpage.
General David Petraeus is expanding military spying in the Mideast. The goal is to disrupt militant groups in Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Somalia. BP continued to spray a chemical to break up the oil spill in the Gulf long past an EPA deadline to stop. And a third of the assaults that prompted bus drivers here in New York to take paid leave last year didn't involve a weapon. It seems New Yorkers are spitting on bus drivers. I'm James Barron. We'll look at those stories and more on the front page of Tuesday's New York Times. The top American commander in the Middle East has ordered an expansion of clandestine military activity. General David Petraeus wants to disrupt militant groups in Iran, Saudi Arabia, and Somalia. He wants small teams of American troops to fill intelligence gaps about terror organizations that could be plotting attacks on the U.S. But the order he issued also permits reconnaissance that could pave the way for military strikes in Iran if tensions about its nuclear projects continue to rise. Tuesday's page one also says BP continued to spray a product called CoreXit to break up the Gulf oil spill. This despite a demand by federal regulators that BP switch to something less toxic. The EPA had set a Sunday night deadline for BP to stop using two kinds of CoreXit dispersants. On Monday, BP defended its use of CoreXit and took issue with methods the agency had used to estimate how toxic it is. Later, EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson ordered the oil giant to take immediate steps to scale back on the dispersants. The oil slick is now smearing tourist beaches and oozing into bays that fishermen have worked for generations. Public opinion in Britain is turning toward skepticism on climate change. Climate skeptics have apparently convinced many people there that global warming is exaggerated. Britain's new Conservative Prime Minister, David Cameron, didn't talk about climate change much during the campaign, and from November to February, a BBC survey found a 15-point drop in people who believe climate change is happening and is largely man-made. Timber barons are cutting down scarce rosewood trees in rainforests in Madagascar. Times reporter Barry Barak says they're exporting the logs to China. The plunder coincided with a military coup 14 months ago. The new president is running a weaker government that's unable or unwilling to stop the trafficking. Environmentalists estimate the value of trees felled in the last year at $167 million. In this country, tight budgets and political pressures now have state officials talking about not a nip here and a tuck there, but about turning government upside down and starting over. One Nebraska lawmaker wants to cut the number of counties from 93 to fewer than 50. In Minnesota, State Representative Tom Emmer, who's running for governor as a Republican, says you can no longer put a Band-Aid on the good ship lollipop. He says it's time to restructure the hull. New Yorkers are spitting on bus drivers. Last year, a third of all the assaults that prompted bus operators to take paid leave didn't involve a weapon. They involved being spat on. More than 50 drivers took, on average, 64 days off. That's the equivalent of 3 months with pay. Transit Union President John Samuelson says having a passenger spit at you is physically and psychologically traumatic. We'll go inside Tuesday's Times after this.
This podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 75,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. For listeners of this podcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook to give you a chance to try out the service. One book to consider is New York Times bestseller No One Would Listen, A True Financial Thriller by Harry Markopoulos. The Audible edition includes a bonus chapter of testimony from the victims of Bernie Madoff and candid comments from the Inspector General of the SEC. That's No One Would Listen, A True Financial Thriller, now available from Audible. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/frontpage.
Inside Tuesday's Times, the U.S. is turning up the pressure on North Korea. Pentagon officials announced naval exercises with South Korea. Secretary of State Hillary Rodham Clinton, who's on a trip to Beijing, said U.S. support for South Korea's defense is unequivocal. Times reporter Mark Landler, who's traveling with her, explains.
Ever since the South Korean government announced the results of their investigation late last week, which they say proves that the North Koreans torpedoed one of their warships, there's been a tremendous push to have some kind of punitive measures against the North. And in order to do that, you really need the Chinese to sign on, both because they have a veto on the Security Council and because they're the most influential neighbor of North Korea.
Times reporter Mark Landler in Beijing. Afghanistan's intelligence agency is accusing its counterparts in Pakistan of involvement in a suicide bombing that killed six NATO soldiers last week. That came as Afghanistan announced seven arrests. The blast killed 18 people, including an American colonel, a Canadian colonel, and two American lieutenant colonels. The suspects are also being charged in connection with a series of other suicide attacks in Kabul. The Supreme Court ruled against the NFL in an antitrust case. The NFL had claimed that when selling jerseys and caps, it was 32 separate teams, not one big business. An Illinois apparel maker called the American Needle Company took the NFL to court. American Needle lost its contract with the NFL back in 2000 when the league signed a 10-year deal with Reebok. Sports editor Tom Jolly explains the high court decision.
The judgment says that the NFL cannot unilaterally negotiate as one entity in deals with hat manufacturers or, say, hot dog manufacturers or parking vendors, that instead 32 individual teams are competing not only on the field but off the field. At its core, this is a blow to the NFL and other professional sports leagues who wanted to be able to negotiate these deals as a single entity and strike one price across the board.
Sports editor Tom Jolly. And New Yorkers have their hangouts. William Hertz has been a regular at Sardi's restaurant in Manhattan for 77 years. He's 93 now. He went to Sardi's when he performed with Orson Welles on the famous radio broadcast of the War of the Worlds in 1938. He was there when times were good. He told Times reporter Manny Fernandez he went there when times were not so good.
I was producing a show. We played a week in Baltimore and a week in New York, and then we folded. Was a flop. And I was having dinner one night at Sardi's, and Vincent Sardi's father, Vincent Sr., told the waiter he would want me to have dessert and coffee with him. He said to me not to worry about a check at Sardi's, that when the show closed and I was hard up, forget about it, that I would earn enough money eventually to be able to pay them. So I burst into tears, and it was there and then that I made a resolution that I would spend most of my time at Sardi's, and it became like my home away from home.
93-year-old William Hertz. That's our preview of Tuesday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron. Thanks for spending this part of your day with us.